You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Can you all hear me? Excellent. Well, it is an honor to be with you here this morning. Thank you, Dr. Ruffner, for that kind introduction and for the invitation to be here. As Dr. Ruffner said, I'm coming to you by Washington, D.C., but I grew up in East Tennessee, and so it is really wonderful to be back here in the South together. One thing of note, I also saw that there's a big, do we have any basketball fans here in the house? Okay. I did see there's a big Sweet 16 game between UK and my Vols. Do we have any UK basketball fans? Okay. I dare ask, any volunteer fans? Yes. Okay. Well, y'all know where to find each other for the game, and afterwards you can practice some reconciliation in Jesus' name. But it is fantastic to be with you here this morning, and if there's one thing that I would like you to remember from our time together, it's that following Jesus is the greatest adventure you can ever have. That is my story. Of following Jesus step by step has led me to incredible places, to do incredible things that I never would have imagined. And one of those is going to Borneo and studying the caves and what they reveal about Earth's past climate history. These clues in God's creation that are given to us to understand what God did as he made this beautiful world that we live in, and also reveal his great love for us. And one question I often get is, well, how did a Christian girl, especially from Tennessee, end up in climate change research? That's not maybe the typical path that, at least when I was growing up, to follow. And again, the short answer is following Jesus. At 17, I felt a call to ministry. But I wasn't really sure what that looked like, so I prayed what I now know is a dangerous prayer, which was simply, Lord, what would you have me do? And I've learned that it's a dangerous prayer because you never know what God's going to say. And that's where I found myself. Every time I prayed this as a 17-year-old incoming freshman to college, God kept on giving me this sense, go study geology. If you want to follow me into ministry, go study geology. Well, for me at that time, this put me in a bit of a crisis. One, I didn't see how geology and ministry went together. And secondly, I wasn't really sure if I could be a scientist and a Christian. What was I going to do? Could I be obedient to where God was calling? But God, in his graciousness, put the right person in my path at just the right time. It was a youth leader volunteer at our church that summer, right before I was about to go off to college, having to make that critical decision that each of you have made or are making and are discerning of what are you going to major in college. And he asked me that simple question, what are you going to study in college? And I don't think he was prepared for my answer. I spilled my guts to him. I just said, oh, I feel like the Lord is calling me into ministry, but to go into geology, and I just don't think I can do that. I don't know what to do. He listened patiently to my spiel, and when I finished, he looked at me and graciously said, Jessica, don't you realize that I'm a geologist? I had no idea. I had no idea there was a scientist, let alone the exact field the Lord was calling me into, right there, a leader in our church. And that gave me the permission that I felt like I needed at that time to follow God wherever he was leading. So I took the plunge, became a geology major in college, and I didn't see how all those things fit together with ministry and geology, but I knew I could trust God where he was leading. And again, God in his graciousness didn't leave me hanging for very long. It was in a freshman geology class where we were studying how to use the rock record to figure out how God had made creation in the past, and especially what climate looked like in the past, that it all came together. And it came together because the Holy Spirit was speaking to me in a science class and dropped Jesus' greatest commandment, a verse to me, speaking verses of scripture to me in science class, reminded me of this as we were studying past climate change, where Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself." Let's dig into this a little bit, as it relates to creation care. I love this quote from Billy Graham, where he says, "We know that God created the world, and it belongs to him, not us." Psalm 24, verse 1. Because of this, we are only stewards or trustees of God's creation. We aren't to abuse or neglect it. Caring for the beautiful creation that God has lovingly made is a way that we love and honor God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, this was really critical to me in that moment, was as we were studying past climate change, I'd also heard about climate change that's happening today, and heard that it impacts the most vulnerable, the very people we as Christians are called to serve first and worst. This is what the U.S. Climate and Health Assessment says. Climate change most severely impacts the most vulnerable in society. Children, both born and unborn, the elderly, pregnant women, the poor, people of color, people with pre-existing medical conditions, and many others. Most severely impacted by climate, as well as other sources of environmental degradation from pollution and biodiversity loss, is the most vulnerable, who are most connected to the land, who are or most at risk biologically, that are impacted the most. And this is where it all came together for me, how studying geology and specifically looking at climate and how to be a part of those solutions to the climate challenges that we face, that this could be ministry. And that set the trajectory for the rest of my scientific career and life, really. Ended up becoming a paleoclimatologist, again, which is just a long-winded way of saying that I study what Earth's climate was like in the past, answering questions like, how has rainfall and temperature changed? How do we know what caused that to happen naturally in the past? How do we know that it's different from the climate change we're experiencing today? And one thing that it really revealed to me, what the study of past climate change reveals, actually something that we already know from Scripture. It reveals that the scriptural truth and real life truth, that we as humans have the ability to impact God's creation, for good or for ill. We have the ability to impact God's creation. Let's dig into this in Scripture a little bit. So we don't have to look far. We can look in the very first book of the Bible, where God gives us our first commission. Let's read verse 1, chapter 1, verse 26. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image, making them reflecting our nature so that they can be responsible for the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and yes, the earth itself." It's so beautiful and powerful that we are made in God's image. There's so much depth and richness in this. One of the implications of this is that we've been made in God's image for a really awesome assignment, to take good care of everything that God has made. This is amazing. God has given us, by making us in his image, the ability, the agency, the power to impact everything else that he has made. What does this impact look like? We can look to chapter 2, verse 15. God took man and set him in the garden of Eden to work the ground and keep it in order. We see with this that our interactions with creation, the original intent of those interactions, were for positive things, were for good, to improve creation. It says, God says, and again, as he's creating things, he looks back and he says as each day of creation that this is good. But it's not until humans are to come into the equation together, all of creation with humans, with our impact, that it is very good. Our original intent for our impact with creation is to improve it, have a positive impact. But unfortunately, that's not the end of the story or the whole story. We see in Genesis 3 where our disobedience to God has cosmic implications and impacts creation as well. Verse 17 says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field." We see that in our current fallen state, that our impact on creation can also be negative. We do have the power to have a negative impact on creation. We'll see later, though, again, that's not the end of the story either. Just as creation's fall was tied to ours, its redemption is tied to ours also. And that's where we're heading, again, to have that positive impact on creation. And just as we have an impact, we do have the ability to impact creation. When we don't steward creation well, it has a big impact back on us. It's a two-way street. And so one question I often get is, well, we have so many cares in the world, so many pressing matters, from poverty to hunger, war and violence, so many things. Why focus on creation care? Well, I love how Catherine Hayhoe, a fellow evangelical Christian and climate scientist, puts it. She says, the only reason we care about climate change, environmental stewardship, is because it already affects everything else we already care about. So if you may not have a great passion for creation care or environmental stewardship, but if you have a passion for caring for the poor and addressing global poverty, if you have a care for addressing the hunger crisis that we have, if you have a care for advancing racial reconciliation and justice, if you have a care for national security or economics, there is a creation care connection there. And we need to pay attention to that, because it impacts everything that we already care about. One thing I always like to do is get a sense of where I'm at. What do you care about? And so one thing I did was look at Asbury's mission statement. And you may not be aware of the mission statement, but here it is at Asbury University. Passionate about equipping students through academic excellence and spiritual vitality for lifelong learning, leadership, and service to the professions, society, the family, and the church, preparing them to engage their cultures and advance the cause of Christ around the world. Y'all made a good choice coming to Asbury. This is a really great mission statement. If I could distill it down to just a couple points, I'd distill it down like this. Asbury really cares about discipleship and your spiritual formation, cares about evangelism and public witness, and also cares about mission and service, being the hands and feet of Christ, advancing Christ's mission and across the world. Now, how does creation care relate to these? Let's dig into this. This is where we're going to spend the rest of our time together this morning. Let's look at discipleship and spiritual formation. In his final book, just incredible Christian leader John Stott, he names creation care as one of the 8 neglected areas of discipleship that deserves to be taken more seriously in the modern church. A neglected area of our discipleship. And though this was written in his book, The Radical Disciple, one thing I want you to know, a key concept to take away, is that caring for God's creation is not a radical new idea that we're introducing to our faith. This is part of, you'll see, again, throughout Scripture, this call to creation care. We'll see throughout church history that up until really it's only been within the last 100 years that we've kind of forgotten about teaching and really pressing into caring for God's creation. The church has an incredible legacy of being leaders in environmental stewardship. It's not a radical new idea, but foundational to our faith. If we look at spiritual formation, just even reading the scriptures, so many of our scriptures and parables are agrarian-based. They have metaphors about creation, and when we're divorced from the land, divorced from creation, what are we missing? I love this verse, Jeremiah 17, verse 8. But the one who trusts in the Lord, who has put their hope in him, will be like a tree planted by the water with roots that reach down to the stream. It will not fear when hot weather comes. Its leaves will remain green, and it will not worry when the drought comes, for it will continue to bear fruit. That's so rich. I appreciate, however, if I haven't really experienced what it looks like to be a tree planted by the stream versus somewhere else less favorable, I'm missing out on the richness of what God wants me to know about this. Through creation care, we begin to uncover the fullness of what Scripture has for us. Let's look at evangelism and public witness. So I serve as president and CEO of the Evangelical Environmental Network, and unfortunately in this day and age, many people don't think those two words go together, evangelical and environmental. And so I often get what I call the EEN double take of when I tell folks what I do and who I am, they're like, what? What are you doing here? Tell me more. And it's just been an incredible way to tell people about Jesus, about how Jesus cares about our world and them. And it's just been an incredible way of sharing Jesus with many people who may not otherwise hear the message, an incredible evangelism tool. I want to tell you about one of our creation care champions, Pastor Dean Van Farrow. You'll hear a bit more about him, some other work he's doing. But he serves at Calvary Reformed Church in Cleveland, Ohio. And one thing that he and his congregation do regularly is every month, they go and they do a litter pilgrimage. They pick up trash around the neighborhood that their church is in. And after a couple months of them doing this every month, people started to come outside their homes and say, what are you doing? Thank you so much. Thank you for keeping our neighborhood clean. Who are you? Why are you doing this? And he got to share. Well, we're from the church down the road, and this is what we care about. And so people who may not have ever stepped foot in the church because the church was out caring for creation and caring for their neighborhood in this way, incredible public witness in introducing folks to Christ. Mission and service. Integrating creation care into our ministries is an incredible way of enhancing our mission and ministries to serve people. It can enhance our existing ministries by taking that creation care lens and looking at how we can serve people, the people, the places, and problems that God has called us to care about. We can find new and fresh, innovative ways through creation care to carry out that mission. I want to share with you a couple examples, but at the heart of it, we can look at Jesus' mission as he describes it in John 10:10. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. What does abundant life look like? It's definitely spiritual abundant life, but also here in the physical as well. And that's one thing for us at the Evangelical Environmental Network is we look at creation care, we look at it as a matter of life. A necessary ingredient for human flourishing and well-being is a healthy environment, is a safe climate to thrive in. This is part of our mission as we care for God's creation, the created world, but it's also how we care for each other, and again, the most vulnerable within them. So let's look back to Pastor Dean. Something else that he deeply cares about, part of his mission, is the health of his community. He has several children who suffer from asthma. There's other health impacts in his community. And he began to look into what are some of the reasons why that's causing asthma, that's causing some other ill health in their community. And one thing that he discovered was at a nearby senior living facility, there was a leaking natural gas well that no one had known about for decades. It was kind of hidden in a courtyard where the seniors would come out to enjoy a beautiful day, but oftentimes they'd then start to feel really woozy, start to feel sick, and they'd have to go back inside. They weren't sure what was going on. They discovered this leaking well that had been there for decades that was exposing the residents to harmful gases, volatile organic compounds, cancer-causing benzene, other elements that can, again, trigger asthma attacks. And so this is something that was happening. They identified this. They were able to plug their picture there of energy workers plugging that well, getting it fixed up. But that's something that's happening across our country. We are so blessed with incredible energy resources, but it also comes with the shadow side of pollution. If we don't cap that, stop those leaks, or capture those emissions, has an incredible impact on our health. Across the U.S., 200,000 people, medical research estimates, die early from carbon-based pollution, like soot and smog, and gases that can come from natural gas and methane. But if we are able to capture those emissions, stop that pollution, we can still have all of the incredible benefits that energy gives us without the shadow side of that pollution. That's something that Pastor Dean is doing in his own community. If we look at methane, which is the main component in natural gas, there's leaks all across the country, including here in Kentucky, putting over 500,000 Kentuckians at risk for health impacts, as well as over 400 schools and daycare cares. What does it look like to put folks to work to plug those leaks and capture those emissions? And that really leads us to, for time, I'm going to skip through this. We're going to learn a little bit about tree planting. You have a wonderful event coming up tomorrow to get involved with tree planting. Simply for harnessing the power of God's creation is an incredible way to protect God's creation as well as bring incredible health benefits. Air quality benefits, reducing pollution in your communities. Trees have the power to safeguard against extreme heat during heat waves, but also to draw air pollutants out of the air to clean our air. And so tree planting in this way is an incredible solution to caring for God's creation well as to bring a bit of God's creation back into our communities also, which is so good for our spiritual and emotional well-being, something that medical research has found. This harnessing the power of God's creation, not only do we need to address, as we look at addressing climate from a technological perspective, but nature-based solutions. God's creation, protecting it, can get us 37% of our emission reductions goals. This is really incredible. Incredible time of innovation as well as caring for God's creation. We also look at creation care as a matter of life when it impacts our farmers, our food system, world hunger. With climate and more extreme weather, it's causing more drought and floods that impact our food systems. But this also, as we look at sustainable agricultural practices, are incredible ways to buffer against these climate-related harms, as well as draw down carbon from the atmosphere to enrich our soils. Really incredible solutions there to get involved with. And this is where, at the Evangelical Environmental Network, we look at the win-win-wins of good stewardship of our creation. As we do this, we're defending life. as Pastor Dean was, of cutting out those harmful pollution leaks. We're defending life, defending our health, especially those most vulnerable. We're protecting God's creation, and also we're making new family-sustaining jobs as we go to work to do all of this, implement these solutions. And so I just want to leave you with a couple ways you can get involved, but a few quotes that really underscore why this is important. I love how the Lancet Medical Journal calls tackling climate change the greatest opportunity for global health because of the climate as well as pollution benefits from it, saving millions of lives across the world and here at home. Forbes calls climate change the greatest opportunity of all time for innovation. If you're in engineering and other fields, as well as the creative arts, ways that we can use our God-given human ingenuity to tackle this pressing problem. So a couple ways you can get involved. Amazing opportunities here on campus at Asbury, especially with the Shaw School of Sciences. Tomorrow, get out, go plant those 4,000 trees on campus. This is a great way to get involved just this week. I want to plug the mission farm that Dr. Ruffner leads, putting where you can learn hands-on about those sustainable agricultural practices that can be applied here at home in the U.S. as well as across the world. And then also clean energy research. Dr. Wilson Schaefer is at the doing some cutting edge research in clean energy of taking natural gas to produce clean burning hydrogen. Some really exciting, innovative stuff happening right here on campus. I also want to share with you our youth engagement arm, the Young Evangelicals for Climate Action. We are currently accepting applications for a paid one-year leadership fellows internship program. If you are interested in implementing a Creation Care project here on campus, please come see me after the chapel. You can text JOIN to the number on the screen. We'd love for you to work with us doing Creation Care and environmental stewardship here on campus. Incredible ways to get involved here on campus and other methods. But with that, I'd love for us to close with the big picture of where this is all headed. And I'll invite the worship team back up as we do this. But this is as we talk about the end of the story, where is it all headed? Well, it's the redemption of all things that God invites us to partner with him on. He invites us to partner with him in this redemptive work of all of creation. And this is the picture that God gives us in Revelation 22 of where we're headed. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down to the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit in every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. Amen. Amen. If you will join me just quickly in prayer to wrap up, and then we'll worship together. So, Father God, we thank you that your mission is to bring abundant life in all of its fullness, in all of its flavor. Lord, we say yes to that, and we ask for more. Lord, we ask for you to reveal to us how we can each partner with you in that redemptive work that you are doing. Lord, we thank you that the end of the story, through your Son, Jesus Christ, through the blood of the cross and the resurrection, that it is leading to the redemptions of all things on heaven and on earth. Show us how we can partner with you in that holy work today. In your name I pray. Amen.